Hi, everybody, and welcome to the next edition, which is edition number 7 of the Linux Link Tech Show. We just want to welcome you real quick and tell you, please, if you're listening, to go ahead and jump on IRC. That way you can chat with us, and we will be right back.
Yeah.
Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product? Or, why don't they talk about this? Or, maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel pound tech show. Hope to see you there. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the 7th edition of the Linux Link Tech Show. My name is Link, and I will be one of your hosts for tonight, the other two being, of course, the ever-popular Dan. Hey, Dan.
I've had better days.
You've had better days. And Alan. Hi, Alan.
Hello, how are you?
Wow, Alan's got a lot to talk about tonight. In fact, actually, we weren't entirely sure what kind of signal we'd be able to collect on, but we do have a fair amount of things to go over. Some of the things that we wanted to talk about were our blogs that we have running and a special contest that we're going to start up. Make sure you pay attention for that one. Stuff about the new GIMP. Alan has this whole list of things he's just dying to get off his chest.
I should do it. Go ahead.
We up and running?
We should be.
Hey, everybody, they say that we're up and running again, which is really cool. We had a little bit of an OGG file crash over here. Some of your average technical difficulties, even though they're not really average for us. In fact, this is the second time this has happened since we started the tech show. And we're on show number 7, so that's pretty good, I would say.
And that was on my favorite OGG sound effect,
too. Which OGG sound effect was that?
The woman going, ooh.
The woman going, ooh. She's no good anymore. We got to ditch her or something.
Well, the toilet works.
Yeah, I was talking about... Yeah, we hope. We're talking about all the wonderful stuff that Alan wants to talk about tonight. You know, once we roped him into being an official member on the show, he's just got this long list of things that he just can't stand it anymore. He must speak to you. And we wanted to hear about his new music server he set up, and his Xbox Linux experiment going on. And, of course, I've got my 2 cents about bash scripting and some news and things like that. And speaking of news... does anybody have any cool news that's going on today that they would like to share? Dan, Alan, somebody, anybody?
Novell acquired SUSE.
Oh,
or
yes.
Is in the process of acquiring SUSE.
Novell is getting SUSE. that is going to make Novell a huge contender in the Linux slash or the Linux versus SCO debate thing that's going on. That's going to make things real interesting, and not only can I not wait to see it because of that, but I really think that I like Novell, and I've liked Novell for a long time, and I can't wait to see what they do with their own Linux distribution, which is, I'm sure, going to be in the works very soon.
I look forward to it, too, since at work we're primarily a Novell shop, and some good news. In fact, just yesterday, I believe it was. Was it yesterday? No, it had to be yesterday, because yesterday was Tuesday. I walked into the office after having been somewhere else, and two of my coworkers were trying to restore some files off of a bad disk that Windows wouldn't read. And I guess the Windows machine that they were originally created on, the teacher's machine, was crashed. And Norton's disk recovery wouldn't recover it. Disk Doctor wouldn't recover it. They found a utility that would recover it, but only if you pay X amount of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
I just slapped it in my...
one of those Overland data recovery...
I have no idea what they were using, so I just slapped it in the Linux box over there and pulled it right off, and that was it. Files were all rescued. Cool. A whole bunch of Microsoft spreadsheets and Word documents, but they were rescued. Another day, another Linux success.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Anybody else have any interesting news? Oh, by the way, and Novell is also making their new server package is going to be running on Linux too, right? That's
right.
One of their options.
I believe they have their beta out now. 7 is supposed to be the entire thing ported over. Their entire suite of applications ported over.
And that's, what does that sit on, Red Hat or something like that?
Well, now it'll be SUSE.
Yeah, it'll be SUSE now. Yeah, but
they supported Red Hat and SUSE, and now it's going to be primarily SUSE. But they say they're still going to throw their support in for Red Hat. But Red Hat's not going to be around much longer anyway.
Yeah, that's another newsworthy item, I guess, is that they're really. I keep hearing anyway that we're really not going to have a Red Hat Linux anymore, or a community-sponsored sort of community-user Red Hat Linux. Evidently, Red Hat is going to discontinue their regular Linux support and go with their Enterprise Edition support.
I haven't had a regular Red Hat
years. Dan and I were talking earlier, and we're looking at all these changes in the Linux packages and the people who put Linux out, all the distributions, and they're all changing hands or folding or something like that. But there are two that keep on trucking, man. And one of them is, of course, our absolute favorite, Slackware, which just keeps going and going and going. And the other one is Debian, which also keeps going and going and going. And these are pretty much, instead of... a corporate-funded or sponsored project. Both of those are, a community or a user-done project. And they just keep going, man. You can't beat it.
Not even with a stick.
And not even with a stick. The rest of them are going here and there, but I do definitely think it'll be interesting to see what happens with SUSE after this, since maybe I'll have to play around with SUSE some more, since my dad actually uses it now, and your dad is going to use it now soon, isn't he?
Well, yeah, we had Link had talked about his dad's horrors.
The other hard drive on him.
has listened to Link's father's horrors, Windows 2000 horrors last week, and I was saying to myself a little prematurely that that's good. My dad's been working pretty well for a while, except for some quirky problem with opening a web document on a floppy disk. Things have been going pretty smoothly. Well, of course, the next day I get a call my parents' house before I go to work. Home from work. God, I gotta learn to talk tonight. And I go over there and he's telling me how he installed his mouse software for the IntelliMouse software that's provided by Logitech.
Right.
He has one of those trackball mice. And afterwards, he rebooted, and it never came back. Blue screen of death. And I was thinking to myself, I've never installed a piece of software that has rendered my Linux machines unbootable. Now I've removed Glib C packages twice. But even then, I was able to restore them with relative ease. That Thursday night, I spent... I was on the phone with you.
You were on the phone with me for like three hours, man. Yeah.
And the sad thing was, while I was on the phone with you, I left my cell phone in the car. My mom was at the grocery store. My dad was supposed to pick her up.
Oh, no.
And that whole time I was talking with you, she was trying to call my dad, and they took off the call waiting. So she sat outside the grocery store for 2 hours.
Oh, man.
Was not happy. But needless to say, the Windows problems do not only affect the users of the workstation right there. They affect their entire family.
Directly or indirectly, one way or the other, it still affects them.
So we spent all that time, 2 hours, trying to find ways to get around it. The damn thing wouldn't boot into safe mode. It wouldn't boot off the rescue floppies. Finally, I was unaware of this, but apparently you can use the Windows 2000 disk as a recovery disk. But that didn't work either, so even though we were able to boot into it,
You can boot it up, but it's still dying.
It was deader than a doorknob. So I figured the error that we were getting, the IRQ is not less than or equal to whatever, is supposed to be a hardware error. We tried swapping things out, removing hardware. That didn't work. So the ultimate solution, I figured, whether to determine whether it's hardware or not, is to pull the hard drive out and put it in another machine. We still got that same error message, which I would suspect then it's something to do with the operating system.
Right.
And it wasn't even worth trying to fix it.
Everything that I looked at either says that it's something to do with your operating system trying to assign an IRQ to more than one device and use it that way, or it's a memory error, like physical RAM error.
Well, in my dad's brilliance, so to speak, he didn't install the 2000 into an NT file system. He did a FAT32, which was great from the perspective that it allowed us to get in there and copy over some important files onto another hard drive using an OPEX disk or to another partition. And we were able to do that. We tried some other things to mess around in there, like deleting the page file. Swap file,
mm-hmm.
And that didn't work. Of course, you were there, Link.
Yeah, I was there.
By the phone. You were there.
Virtually, anyway.
I hear that we're repeating.
Yeah, I hear we're repeating, too, but I think that's to do with the stream.
Okay. Anyway, decided that it was just a beat system. We pulled it out, put it in another machine the next day, and it still showed the same effects. So I said to my dad, you're going to have to reinstall Windows. At which point, I promptly grabbed the SUSE disks on that to that new machine,
mm-hmm.
and installed SUSE. And, of course, the install took a lot longer than Slackware.
Right.
But, for someone who never used Linux before, it's a little more straightforward.
What's the install up to on SUSE? Was it like 6 CDs or something like that?
Well, they have 3 CDs, but I only use 2.
Ah.
That's the personal edition. I got that up and running. And it found all this hardware that we had, except for the scanner, of course. It was a parallel port scanner. But I knew that scanner was supposed to work with Linux. So prior to getting that scanner working, I set forth on getting his digital camera working, and I spent a good 45 minutes messing around with that. And the reason being is I set up GPhoto and TK Cam, which is a TK front end for GPhoto. And it would find the camera, but it wouldn't be able to connect to it. And after spending so much time, I eventually booted back into his desktop and saw that it was auto-mounting the camera onto the desktop. So I'm suspecting that the problem was SUSE is set up for auto-mounting removable devices.
Right.
So when I plug that camera in, it finds it as a mass storage device through the USB, auto-mounts it, which doesn't allow the GPhoto software to handle it. And I didn't want to spend too much more time on that because I still wanted to get the scanner working.
Well, it's still functional, right, as a USB mass storage device. Does it save it as a JPEG or something?
Oh, no, yeah, it does. But the thing is, if you use the GPhoto, it's a lot more user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like you pull up that thing and say, okay, now you can pull your pictures off, X, Y, Z. Everybody's happy. But, you know, it's good enough. The scanner, getting the scanner to work, was a little more difficult than getting the camera because it was a parallel port based scanner. I had to load in some extra kernel drivers. The problem was I still cannot figure out how to get Sane to automatically pick it up. I have to pass the device to it manually, which isn't so bad. I have to pass the device to it manually to X-Sane also, but it works great. So I set up a script for my dad that he could just click on. It brings up X-Sane, and he could scan in that image without a problem.
Right.
The only downside is it would be nice. I haven't figured out how to do this for the GIMP. Is when the GIMP has the acquire photo, it automatically launches X-Sane, acquires a photo, and brings it in for you. But I need to find a way to get that parameter passed via the GIMP plugin for X-Sane, and so far I haven't figured it out. Anyway, that's the extent. After we got everything up and running and working, his printer was working. I'll tell you what, the damn thing ran on the internet 10 times faster than it ever did in Windows. I was amazed. It was a dial-up connection because it was always a bear to use. It was, you know, fairly slow. Every time in Windows you bring it up, you get the error message that it couldn't connect to anything. You got to hit the thing twice. This connected, no problem. Everything was fine. I SSH'd into my machine at home just so I can get some configuration parameters for the Sane and the camera. And it was just, it was beautiful. My dad's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm in my machine at home." "Well, I don't want people to be able to get into my machine." I'm like, "Don't worry about it. The FreeSco set up that they can't get in." "Well, okay, I don't want anybody messing around with my stuff." I'm like, you know, it's a completely different thing. So everything was working beautifully. No problems whatsoever. My party statement to my dad was, "You're going to reinstall Windows. I know that's what you're planning on doing. Just keep this here. When your Windows box goes down again, you just need to put this right in place. You'll be up and running, no problem whatsoever." I showed him Mahjong that was on there, so now he can play that to his heart's content. That was about it.
And so he's actually, like, using it now?
I have no idea. When I left, it was Monday. This was Monday night. I left, and it was about 1 o'clock. He was going to bed. I haven't heard anything from him since about, you know, what's going on. But I'll probably find out tomorrow. I suspect he probably hooked up his old computer to get Windows running again. I have no idea why he is insistent on running Windows. He was talking.
Well, that's if he got it to work, right?
If he got it to work. I mean, you know, he also has an Opix over there that runs like a charm, too. But he's hell-bent against using that for some reason. He was talking. What was he saying to me? Something about my cousin saying some type of software that he could use or something in Windows or something to do. And it's like, oh, you know what? When you're done messing around with that crap, you know, come on over to the real world. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a whole lot easier for you. You're going to have a whole lot more fun.
That's right. I told my father-in-law the last time he had a problem, I had my wife tell him. I said, you know, maybe I can fix, you know, what you have working over there or what you have that isn't working over there. But I told him I will not install Windows on his computer again, period. I will not do it. If I can fix it without messing around a whole lot, sure. But I'm not installing Windows on his computer again. And the next time it goes down and breaks, he'll either have to pay somebody to do it. Costs a lot of money. Or, you know, I will happily go over there and install Linux on there. And that way I can secure it up and it'll work forever and not have a problem.
Yeah, so he's left, and I'd like to say the same thing to him, but I got another 3 years before our youngest daughter's in kindergarten that I could actually say, I'm putting my finger down no more.
Babysitter, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we kind of need that nice free babysitting service, although I don't think he'd ever hold it against me. He was talking to me about designing web pages. He does leather work, so he wants to make a web page and be able to start selling his stuff online. He's asking me what he needs to get and everything, and I'm like, you know, if you're going to stay in the Windows world, to be able to do drawing and everything, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Sure.
Otherwise, you know, you use Linux, you have basically everything you need on that SUSE machine.
Sure.
Like, you got your Saudi Potty there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Saudi Potty? Yeah, Saudi Potty's a vector. Vector-based. The new GIMP has vector-based capabilities now. Awesome.
Right.
I love the new GIMP, but But I don't want to monopolize the whole time because this is Alan's show tonight. Yeah, and this is the night Alan is supposed to shine. So let me zip my lip about that kind of news. We already talked about Sousa.
Right.
And we hit something about Little Fedora there, Red Hat and Fedora. Mm-hmm. So we can move right into the topics unless Alan has some more news to add.
No.
Or Link has some more news to add.
I do have a couple of more things real quick. I saw earlier this week that an official announcement that Linux is going to be the operating system of choice in Germany, Spain, Brazil, Israel, and Mexico. And they are all rolling out state-sponsored initiatives to develop Linux-based computer operating system and applications. And this is the strongest opposition to Microsoft Windows. Japan, Korea, and China also recently announced that they are working on an alternative OS to Windows, which is again based on a Linux platform. And the Spanish government is in the process of acquiring over 80,000 Linux desktops for its education department. Under this, every two students in the country will get to share a computer. That is just some incredible news. And what I want to know is why the United States cannot follow suit. I mean, we do have some states that are just really irritated with some of the Microsoft goings-on, you know, and have sponsored some court dates in an effort to get money back from antitrust suits against Microsoft and things like that. But I really would like to see more of the government following suit with the rest of these governments who are obviously interested in making sure that their taxpayers aren't paying for something that's useless. And that is all in the news. That's just my opinion at any rate. But
oh, I forgot our sound effects. we have
our own sound effects.
Yeah, well, speaking of Microsoft in the news, they're offering $250,000 to leads on the capture of the Blaster and whatever other worm authors.
And now, if I had the money, I would offer $300,000 for someone else to write another virus, actually, you know.
All right, then they'll come after you. There goes your $300,000.
Nice, free software, right? I mean, you know.
But, you know, they're offering that into other countries also. So, I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, but I just read that the other countries don't care. You know what I mean? They're probably sponsoring the viruses over there themselves. But, and evidently, the Microsoft is either the other countries are getting smarter, Microsoft has just pissed a whole bunch of people off. And, you know, that's good news for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, eventually somebody's probably going to get caught and turned in. Somebody's going to, I don't know, you think they're actually going to give away the $250,000, or do you think they're going to find some way to finagle out of it?
I think you're going to have to jump through hoops to get it.
You think so?
They'll have to find it. You know, maybe they'll give it to the guy if he turns himself in. I don't know. But
I'd be interested to find out what happens to a person, or we flack a person who would actually turn somebody in and get the reward. Because you know they're going to get flack from somewhere. They better not own a business or anything, or attempt to have anything of a light after that, because they're just going to be a target.
$250,000, that's a lot of money. Perhaps, you know, maybe I'll have to give him a call and tell him that you wrote the viruses, Dan.
Oh, that's smart. Now, you know what? You're saying these things are going to go over a year. Someone's going to hear
that.
Well,
we can get you a wireless mic, and that live from jail, it's Dan. No.
Next thing, we have the BSA knocking on the door. And then not only would they come to my house, then they'd have to come to your house and Alan's house.
That's cool, but I don't have any Microsoft products in my house. So
well, I don't
they
either,
but
still.
They do all they want.
Still, it's probably not going to stop them.
I wish they would break into my house and search my computers, because then I'd have a hell of a lawsuit.
My laptop boots now.
Yeah.
Not only that, they'll find Alan's hacked Xbox, and boy, he'll be in big
trouble. Oh, that'd be it then, man.
Ooh, you'd be in big trouble. They'll come along.
I bought that used, so I signed nothing that says I couldn't do anything I wanted to it.
You bought it what, used?
Yeah, I bought it. I bought the Xbox used, and I had no paperwork in it. It was just, you know, here's the plugs, plug it in. on it, so I didn't sign any
EULA?
EULAs. So I can do anything I want to that, because I didn't agree to anything.
Well, pretty much. You know, and that's another thorn in the side of humanity, I think, that's going on now with the legal crap in the United States, is that they do that. They'll sell you an item, a company will sell you an item with a disclosure that, like, you don't actually own it. You're just leasing it for use or something like that. I mean, you know what? If I pay you some amount of $100 to take something and take it home with me and put it in my car, I own it. If I want to grind it up in a meat grinder, that's my prerogative, you know? They just don't seem to think that way. And the big proponents of that kind of junk are
software.
Yes, software industry. Software. Anybody that's doing any kind of like a web appliance or something like that, and Microsoft. So,
is that any different than if you add, hack, change, alter, then your warranty's void?
Yeah, because they're saying that you don't even own the product.
No, I mean, do you lump that into the same category? Like, if I hack the TiVo, and there's a problem, and they find out that I hacked it, they're going to say, well, you went in and did this, and then, well, your warranty's kind of void.
Yeah, but that's exactly what TiVo says about
right.
it, though.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't care that you go in and do stuff to it. It's just if you pop that little seal on the back of it, they pretty much say, sorry, it's your paperweight now.
That's the whole thing. That means that it's your paperweight, but these other people are saying that it's not even your paperweight. You cannot hack it. It doesn't belong to you, even though you paid for it, you know?
Well, I was just asking your opinion.
Well, now you have it. So there. No, what else is going on? Do you have any news, Alan? Nothing?
No. It's been a steady week at work.
He hasn't had any new news since the last time I asked him, which was after the time you asked him.
A couple of minutes ago.
Tonight he's had no news.
Well, if you could just catch up with us a little bit, man. How about this new music server that you have set up in your house?
Well, basically what I did is there's an article for anybody who gets it in the Linux magazine. It's one of the UK magazines on it. It's really a neat little program. I had upgraded my one music box at home basically to put Slackware on it because it had Red Hat on it at one time. And it was after a year or so of having Red Hat on it. It's an old machine and it just wasn't doing very well. So I decided to play with Slack 9.1 on it. And figuring since I did everything over again, I now have to, not being intelligent enough to put all my MP3s on a separate partition. And I still didn't do that for like an idiot, but I had to reinstall everything. So I looked for a different way that I could be able to get music other than just in the computer room where I can only get it now on it or at the time. But they have these neat couple of Perl scripts back there in an article called Music on the Move on it. It's basically just two Perl scripts. One of the Perl scripts basically takes all your MP3s and throws them into nice little 700 megabyte directories, keeps a list of them. So if you need to back up your stuff, it's very simple to just...
So it fits on a CD.
Fits everything on a CD. That's really nice. Another one goes in and reads all the your MP3 info. So that's one thing I screwed up on. A lot of my early MP3s are not encoded with all the extra info on them.
Right.
So it throws everything into a lost and found directory. But for the most part, it just goes in and reads this stuff, makes a nice little web page that you can call up on any computer that you can get to on your network, obviously.
Right.
And start streaming whatever songs you want off of it.
It's a streaming server?
It's a streaming setup. I've had it so far running on two separate computers and not had any jumps or skips or anything.
Is this some kind of CGI or thing, something like that?
Well, it's a Perl script. It uses a bunch of Perl modules. And unfortunately, like I said, I didn't prepare myself for tonight. So you got to give me a couple seconds here, and I'll tell you the modules that it uses.
Were you hitting CPAN?
Yeah, you get all your stuff off of CPAN. That's basically probably the easiest way of getting them after you get it to actually do the first setup, which for me is always a pain in the butt.
I'm like, that's like apt-get for Perl.
Yes, it's apt-get for Perl.
Link's a big Perl fan.
Oh, yeah, love it.
Well, I know nothing about it.
How many different brackets can you put in one line of code,
Well, I've seen some real interesting Perl code, and I guess for the people who are real gurus on it, you know, I can't figure out how you can do it myself. But
no, I like Perl, but that's me. Go ahead, Alan.
Basically, what is he using here? MP3 info, and there's an Apache one that it uses too. Apache MP3 module, which I guess is the one that does the streaming part of it.
Stream, right?
It's for the two Perl scripts that it is. If you don't mind rearranging the way you may store your MP3s, it's not quite the way that I would have stored them initially, because it keeps everything bulked into a couple big directories. But it works great. I've been able to, like I said, I can fire it up in the bedroom. I can fire it up in the living room. Just go to a web browser. As long as you have, you know, something to play the, obviously you need something to play the MP3s on the computer as well.
Right.
But that's kind of cool because you
could. Works real nice.
If you have it streaming, then you should be able to, you know, grab your stream off of whatever and then, you know, go to any computer in the house and actually change what's playing.
Yeah.
On every computer at the same time. That's kind of cool.
Does it work like that?
You can actually set it up to do. The computers can all be separate. You can play one group of songs on one computer, go out to another room, fire up something.
So it
else.
Starts multiple streams then.
It starts multiple streams, and since my computer's only like a 300 megahertz roughly, I'm not even sure if it's even that because it's a low budget machine on it. To be able to do two or three streams at once and not have it being choppy, and it's the full, you know, if you've encoded at 192 or whatever on it, it's streaming back at that. So it was, for me, it's working really nice.
That's cool. I'd like to try something like that sometime. I have to do a little server reorganization first, I think, though.
Can you get that stream at work?
I guess you could.
Can you get your stream at work?
No, unfortunately, my cable modem's only one way. 90% of the time, it isn't working anyway. So.
All right.
That's one of my jobs. Woo! For next week is to harass RCN to come out and give me a new one.
And it's RCN. Yeah. Okay, so everybody, if you really want to have
a live wire,
if you really want to have great cable modem service, that's who you call, according to Alan.
Well, no, I won't give him. You know, I live in an apartment building, so the cable coming into that place is not the greatest in the world.
No, okay.
And it's probably been hit by lightnings more time than I can, you know, little spikes and stuff. Because I don't unplug it during storms or anything. I basically only worry about the computers because I figure they own the cable modem, not me. It's their responsibility.
Right.
But you know, I've had this particular one running for about a year and a half, so I've gotten that long out of it. So that's good.
That's cool. Now all we got to do is get you hooked up two way so you can really get some stuff going on.
I wish I could. Dave's been telling me that two-way is only a month away for 4 years now.
Typical tactics. And you can't get DSL or anything like
no,
that?
No, unfortunately, I'm too far away to get DSL.
Oh, that rots. I love my DSL. I love it.
If I could get it, I would drop the entire cable service, period, and pick up a dish.
Oh, yeah.
And go that route.
A dish of what? Homemade?
A dish of what, yeah.
We should probably take,
you know, like the Dish TV or the DirecTV. Yeah.
That's
Direct
expensive,
TV.
Though. It's $100 a month, man.
Well, that's
looking
what I'm
at
paying
prices
now with my cable.
You're paying $100 a month for cable.
Between the cable?
One-way cable.
Dude, you got to drop like the Playboy Network and some stuff, man.
No, the only thing I have on there is HBO.
Holy moly.
It's, you know, $35, you know, a month.
It's the only thing you have on there, but, you know, how many channels does your wife have on there that you don't know? That's the thing.
Well.
No, my mother-in-law was talking about how much she pays for cable. Something like $150 a month. I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
I pay like $37, but then I have a bundle, my phone bill bundled in with it, too, so it's like it's $79. Do you have the bundled services?
Well, I don't have the bundled service, but I do have RCN for my phone as well, and that's outrageous, too, I think. But
no, wait a minute. You do have the bundled service then, because you got phone.
It's bundled, but they
internet
the,
and cable. And you get like
two separate bills, but it is bundled. Yeah, it is bundled.
You know, you should call them up, because we were getting two separate bills there, and then my wife called them up and said, hey, what's the deal here? I thought we were supposed to get one bill, and then they gave us all on one bill.
Okay, I'll have to look into that.
We should probably take an intermission.
Yeah, we probably should. All right.
Alan's got to prepare for his next segment.
Alan's got to prepare for his next 30-minute segment coming up. Now, we're going to take a little quick intermission here and play you some wonderful music by our great friends at 10 Gentile Cold. And this one is called Latino Chino. We're back, and that was Latino Chino by our friends over at 10 Gentile Cold. Please do yourself a favor and hit our web pages and look for the link for these guys and check them out. They make all this really great open source music that you can listen to free of charge, and you can tell the RIAA to suck your hind end.
You know, 10 Gentile Cold better start putting out some more.
Yeah,
music
we got that. We're getting pretty low on your stuff there, guys, and we need some more music. So we're gonna have to go over there too and start checking out some of the stuff that they have, because I think we've got just about everything now.
Hey, speaking of that Linux magazine, I picked it up on this weekend. That's a really good issue.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat stuff in that one.
Samba 3.0. I really like the United Kingdom magazines. They're really nice.
Except for their
yeah.
four times worth.
Well, for $9.95, they have a deal that you can get the next three issues subscription at $9.95 with the CD.
Really?
And then if you like it, you can keep going for $84 a year. But you figure $84 a year, that's still cheaper than buying them with the CD in the
store. That is true there.
Although the only thing I don't like, I always try, like I never got a subscription to Linux Magazine because I feel kind of obligated to go buy it at like Wegmans so that they keep carrying it.
So they keep carrying
it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they also, they do pretty good sales of, I guess, Linux Magazine over there. But they also carry Linux World Magazine, which is nice. And I picked up the second issue over there.
That's something that I need to get a hold of. I completely forgot about that one.
I had the first issue of that one. I didn't get the second one yet.
And the cool, you know what, a cool piece of trivia about the first issue of Linux World Magazine is that it had the Lehigh Valley Linux User Group listed in the User Group section.
We're listed in the second one, too.
Are we really? That's
I don't know. I have it in the bathroom over there, too, right?
Linux it's magazine. In the can, yeah.
It's in the library.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, Dan, you were talking earlier about the GIMP. Isn't there some kind of new GIMP that's out now? New?
Well, there's the 1.3, I think it's 2.1 version, that's just been included in the Slackware, replacing the 1.2, which is really sweet. It has vector-based utilities in there for saving to the vector-based SVG format. In the past, when you were using the selection tools, once you made your selection, that was pretty much it. If you used a Bezier selection, it would allow you to remove the points around, but you couldn't add or subtract. The new vector-based tools allow you to add and subtract points, resize and everything when you do a path, and then you can convert the path to a selection. You could do vice versa, convert a selection to a path, which means that technically now you can resize your selections, which is really nice. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
That's cool. I have to do more work with the GIMP. I mean, obviously, I'm missing something because it's like just doing a little logo graphic on our webpage for the tech show. I had to use, first of all, I had to draw the thing in XPaint because XPaint has the nice little widgets, you know, for making circles and things like that. I can't find any of that stuff under the GIMP. I must be, you know, GIMP impaired or something like that. We have to rig up some kind of class or something. But the GIMP is cool. It's got all these tools and stuff available for you to use, and it really neat looking stuff, except for I can't figure out how to make any of it do what I want it to do. And the manual is like, oh my God, monster big, you know? But it is definitely a cool program, cool little tool.
An interesting thing, what I had to do with designing the web page at work, I use the GIMP pretty heavily. And we wanted to, on our flash, on the front page, we wanted to get a kind of effect with the text that it was a certain color, but as it was going over the pictures or partly on the pictures, the color of the text would get lost in the picture. So we figured, well, we put a little shadow behind it, a white shadow, it would work perfectly. A big pain in the butt was I could not figure out a way to get a white shadow on this darn thing to work really well. So after all sorts of different attempts through Illustrator, what I finally did, and this worked out great, was I created a just black text, and put a drop shadow on it. Did a drop shadow twice through the Illustrator. Had this big, nice little big blur on it. Pulled it into the GIMP. I inverted it color-wise, so it turned it white. Brought it back in the Illustrator, and then put the blue text on top of it. It did exactly what we wanted to do.
Cool.
Hooray. Hooray.
Yay.
Foos, I guess they call them.
What did you say?
Yeah, they, GIMP has the what is it, script foos, I think.
Yes, what about them?
Yeah, they have like ones in there like glow and things like that.
Yes.
That couldn't, maybe like a light glow wouldn't have done the same type of thing.
See, here was the thing. I don't know why, but for some reason the font that I wanted to use wasn't showing up in the GIMP on my Mac. So I had to use, you know, I could get the font in Illustrator, and to get it to the size that we wanted it. And then I brought it in the GIMP to do that inverting process because I could not find out how to do the invert on Illustrator. So, I mean, it all worked out in the end. Now I got to do all the rest of the text like that. But it's been a learning experience with the new version of GIMP. A lot of different things in there, but I think it's well worth it.
Oh, it's a neat program. I really have to spend some more time with it to be a little bit more familiar with, you know, how to get everything to work. And I'm sure there's a lot of stuff in there that I just haven't found or found out how to do yet, you know?
You know, Link, we were talking at the break about FastNet being sold.
Right.
I'm looking at Speakeasy again. And they're still carrying over that $19.95 a month for the first 3 months deal.
You going to do it?
I'm going to call FastNet tomorrow and find out what the deal is. Initially, it's going to cost me a little over $200.
Ooh.
But I get that $200 back in a mail-in rebate. So I got to find out where I'm going to get $200. But, static IP, two static IP addresses. And 1.5 down, 768 up.
So you've got to figure out what you have to sell to get $200?
Yeah. And they're extremely lenient.
How much blood do I have to give?
Policy, yeah. Or sperm do I have to donate? They're extremely lenient policies, though. Say, you know, you do whatever you want to do with your stuff.
Okay, well, here's the news. I can't even open it up. I got a November 3rd link on FastNet. First, for those of you who don't know, FastNet is a local ISP in the area that Dan happens to run all of his services from, all the stuff that is hosted on the LinuxLink.net. Runs on FastNet's IP space and on their bandwidth. And thus far, over how many years now? Four or five years? Thus far, he's been doing really, really good with it. However, I happen to work in the same building as FastNet, and I caught the skinny a little earlier that FastNet is being sold to another company. And there is indeed on their website a November 3rd announcement that FastNet signs asset purchase agreement with LEC Corp. So I believe that Dan is in the need or in the look for another ISP, possibly, depending on what's going to go on with that. Myself, I'm just hanging in there with Verizon's DSL, which I still am digging pretty well.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've had FastNet for a good 6-7 years now, and I really, really like them. And they've been a local company, and I really like to support them. But if they're being bought by this other company...
Yeah, well, you don't know what kind of service you're going to get after that or what the other company's like. Or,
right.
You know. Plus, if you can get a good deal from this other people you're looking at for another IP address and stuff. You know.
That's true.
They give you two IPs. That's pretty cool.
Well, I got to make a move either this month or next. Well, if I make a move this month and pay another month of FastNet, I can get FastNet going, keep it up until I get the other thing going perfectly, and then just convert over and cry. I get a dial-up connection with that, too, which is nice. I can keep my dad in business.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
I get a dial-up connection with from work that I use. Actually, I don't ever use it. You know, I just... There is one, and I have used it in the past long, long ago. And at this point in time, I don't even have the software installed on my computer to use it. And I really should put it on there. But it just... And actually, that's a fascinating account, too. But, you know, I just haven't had the need ever since I finally came into the new world technology of DSL. For the longest time, it was just dial-up for me, and AOL dial-up at that, which is, you know, really horrible. And speaking of AOL, if you're listening tonight, I just want to thank you very much for the newest DVD case that you sent me today.
I always like the little metal ones.
The little tins are really cool, too. But I'm in the need for another little DVD case in case I break one, you know. Break one of the DVDs that I have now, and now I have a freebie from AOL, and I also have a nice little coaster for my desk.
I didn't get one. I was jealous.
They probably do it by last name or something, and since mine starts with an F and you start with a W, maybe you get yours tomorrow or the next day. But and then you can have your own coaster and DVD container. But at any rate,
I had a collection of the coasters at work.
Oh, yeah. They made good, good little sun catchers. And
the one they had that looked like the Tide box.
Oh, yeah, I saw one. That looked like the Tide box.
Or something like that. I really liked that one there. I didn't use that one as a coaster, but...
We're collecting AOLs.
All the different kinds that they have. Actually, I think if you go on eBay, I think people actually sell the different ones.
Really? So you can have your own collection, right?
I believe there are people who actually collect AOL CDs.
There's some strange people in this world. But at any rate, we were going to talk about tonight something. What were we going to? We were going to talk about Alan and his Xbox Linux exploits, and I'll make a quick mention that the new Bash scripting guide is out. You can find it on SourceForge. Go look for that. It's a gzip tar file with the new Bash scripting guide. It's all in HTML. Grab it and check it out. It's really neat. And the rest of the stuff we probably will have to push off until next episode, the next issue of the Tech Show, because it's getting late, man. It's we got 3 minutes left in this show, and we wanted to talk about our contest, right? Yes, no?
Yes.
Everybody, we want to talk about our contest. We are going to have a contest, and it's very important. You guys, listen up. We're going to have a contest for you guys to play, and we intend upon giving away a computer with Linux pre-installed on it. And, Dan, do you have some kind of reasonable expectation of the specs of this particular computer system?
Pentium 3, 450. Somewhere between 64 and 128 megs of RAM. 6 gig hard drive. 8 megabyte video card. Not the fastest system in the world, but definitely enough to run Slackware and Spades.
It's the exact same system that's running our...
Right.
Our stream now, right?
Yeah, and we'll throw in a bonus copy of Dynamolic to go with it.
Copy of Dynamolic to go with it. Yeah.
And we'll have it pre-installed with Slackware, 17-inch monitor.
Yeah.
Probably speakers.
We could probably do that. We'll come up with it. Yeah. Basically, we're gonna hold this contest and... the winner will receive this computer, which we will install Slackware on, and it'll make a nice little secondary computer for you, or or for a friend, or a nice little, you know, Christmas gift kind of thing for somebody who needs a computer. It'll be great. You can pick it up at the over here at our tech show, or we can, and I'm sure we can get it to you somehow. But what we're going to do is we're going to give you three hints, okay? And you have to check these three hints out in order to get the right answer in order to qualify to win this computer. And I don't want to tell you a whole lot about that, but you're just going to have to follow the hints. And if you follow the hints and then email us the result of the all three hints combined, and you're the first person to do so, you'll win the computer, and we'll let you know. And that'll be the contest. But I did want to give you the first hint tonight.
Wait, let me find some good music to play.
Oh, we got to have hint music. Here's the first hint. And you're going to want to look for
it. The toilet's still flushing.
It's a long toilet.
That's a lot of water we just wasted there.
You aren't kidding me. You're going to want to, at the very least, the very last hint that we're going to give is going to only be available on the stream, on the live stream. You're going to have to listen live at least for the very last hint. The first one I'll give you now, and we'll leave it on the archive so the rest of you guys that don't know what's going on yet and download the archive tonight to listen to it tomorrow will know that you have to listen to it on the last one. But the first hint I'm going to give you is this. It's going to be Tim Berners-Lee, T-I-M space Berners-Lee. That's your first hint. Tim Berners-Lee. You're going to want to check him out and figure out what's going on with that hint and keep that in mind for the next show when we will give you the next hint.
Ooh. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too, because I haven't figured out the next hint to give. So
you haven't even figured out the end of the contest yet. Where are we going?
But we will have this figured out soon.
Yeah. We'll have, check for, like, periodic updates. Like, if we figure out what's going on, we might actually post it to the blog, which would be a cool thing.
Yep.
Watch the Tech Show webpage.
Right.
That's the Linux Link Tech Show.
Linux Link Tech Show.
Not the Tech Show. Well, is there a Tech Show?
No, not really.
What's that show that the Lehigh Valley Computer Users Group is always getting on? Or was always getting on? Blue Ridge Cable.
I don't even remember the name. The one with the weirdo host.
Computer-wise.
Computer-wise, there you go.
And Tech TV, which RCN doesn't carry. Well, they carry them on digital, don't they?
I have no clue because I don't have digital.
Dude, man, I don't understand what the heck you're getting $100 a month.
Basic cable.
That's just your cable bill?
Well, no, it's the cable and
the phone.
Cable modem.
Oh, and the cable modem and the phone. That's.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the regular cable is only like $67 or something like that, $65 or something like that. So.
Yeah, Asa. Mellophone comes back with
it. Mellophone's got it. Yeah,
Asa Dickinson.
We actually do watch you guys talk back and forth. We actually do watch you guys talk back and forth in IRC and talk back and forth with you while we're on live. So, yes, Mellophone, you're right. Asa Dickinson is his name, and he is creepy as far as I'm concerned as well.
I've only seen him from across the room and on that little TV when we've been at the LVCG meetings, because we've always been in the back.
Yeah, but every time
we get pushed to the back.
I think the last time I saw him, he was wearing, like, some kind of pink tights or something like that, and I'm just not into that kind of deal, so.
Speaking of meetings, the LV Lug, Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group meeting, is this Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
And it'll be at Moravian College.
Right.
For Flash.
Ooh, for Flash.
And once again, not only is Alan going to do next week's show, but he's also going to host the Lug meeting over there.
Now, I think it's pushing it a little
bit. And exactly what topics are you going to cover at our next Lug meeting on Tuesday, Alan?
I had no clue as to the topics we were going to cover tonight.
Well, we have to do... Flash has some desktop stuff. So what I'm thinking about... what I could probably do is... do a combination of GIMP 1.3 in conjunction with a nice little presentation through OpenOffice converted to the Flash format to give a, you know, a feel for two different applications which you can do with them. Oh, happy day.
Absolutely.
Yum, 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 yum.
And on that note, does anybody have anything else? Any parting words? Any parting words? Okay, well, on
I
that
some
note,
other things to part with.
Yeah. On that note, we want to, again, thank you for listening to our Linux Link Tech Show episode number 7 or edition number 7. And we have probably taken up enough of your time for tonight. Again, listen to us live every week, if you can, at 9 o'clock Eastern Time every Wednesday. Check us out on the archives if you miss it, of course. And make sure you keep up with our contest that's going on. Get yourself a free Linux computer. And as always, have a happy, and we're going to let you go with our traditional nasty-eyed version of the Linux Link Tech Show music.
You know, before we do that, I think we've had like 6 or 7 listeners on tonight, not including the backup recording.
Like stream listeners?
Yes.
Oh, now that is cool.
Do you have it on your laptop?
I'm listening, yeah.
Oh, you're connected, so yeah. Then that makes
five or six. That's a lot of people, yeah.
That's nice. But that includes your wife, too. She's always listening, which is great. Thank you very much.
That's great.
That boosts our statistics.
Yep.
Well,
and we've got like 100 downloads now of the archives.
Excellent. I'll see you all next week.
Yep.
Alan?
Thanks for listening.
That's it? Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.